Welcome.
I'm Mike Bongiorno. I'm joined, as always, by my partner in crime, Kate Ganey.
Howdy.
Kate, happy holidays.
Hey, happy holidays.
How are things?
Turbulent. The holiday season's hard.
Yeah.
It's hard. And, you know, for as wonderful and light and joyous as it can be, it can also be really, really, really difficult.
Yeah. If you're listening to this episode and you're feeling negative feelings, go ahead and give yourself permission to feel that. You're not supposed to. You don't have to feel good. Don't listen to what the commercials tell you. You can feel any kind of way you want to feel.
You can hate Christmas if you want.
Yeah. Yeah. It's all humbug, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. For me, I hate the cold and I hate snow.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe because I have to shovel it. It also sucks to drive in it. I think, I don't know. To be an adult, snow is not fun.
I wholeheartedly agree with that statement. Once you have to manage snow, whether it's shoveling it or commuting in it or whatever, it's not cool anymore.
It just makes your life harder.
And maybe, like, maybe if I lived in some sort of, like, community where they took care of snow removal for me and stuff, maybe I'd feel different. Maybe I would feel differently about snow.
Yeah.
But
you
right
don't.
Now it's beautiful when it's falling. Beautiful when it's falling.
Oh, yeah. It's when it sticks is when it sucks.
Yeah.
When it just starts to fall, it truly is magical.
That there's no quiet like that. It's amazing how quiet the whole world gets when it's snowing.
Yeah. And then people run to Facebook to say, it's snowing.
Oh, my God. It's snowing.
Thanks, Karen.
I don't have a window, so I really appreciate these updates.
These kids these days, they don't get snow days because the pandemic sort of changed the world to be more virtual. They just have Zoom days.
Yep, they have virtual learning days instead of snow days. How terrible is that?
I know. Give the little fuckers some time off.
Hey, let them go play in the snow. Come on.
Come on, what's one day gonna do? One day is not gonna derail them.
And give them a day, come on.
Yeah, I mean, and also, like, it takes a while to get Zoom going and working. If you've been teaching in person and it's just you have to Zoom today, it's gonna be a hot mess.
You're gonna lose tons of time on technical bullshit. Like, just let
right. Kids. So, this Thursday, I'm going to see The Whale.
Oh, okay.
And I haven't seen it yet, but I'm already torn by it.
I am too. Let me hear why you're torn about it.
Well, it was a play. So from what I understand about the story, it makes being, and he's not just overweight, he's like over 600 pounds. It makes being fat or very fat tragic.
Right.
And I think that that's not necessarily true. It doesn't have to make your life tragic.
Yeah.
And then some reviews said, you know, the movie is confused because it tries to say the world is beautiful and people are beautiful, but it's also a freak show that you go to it just to watch this, you know, big guy. And then some people are upset that it's not an actor who's that size, but Brendan Fraser. Although Brendan Fraser is fat.
Right. He's just not that fat.
He's just not that fat.
Mm.
The thing that everyone agrees on is that he's incredible in it.
Delighted to hear, and I can't wait to see. Because I love him.
I know. I mean, he's the perfect person for this, right? Because he went from, you know, like Encino Man and his early stuff in Georgia Jungle. He was just like, he had model good looks.
Yeah.
And he kind of, his hair went away. His hair thinned and he gained weight. And Hollywood kind of wanted nothing to do with him for a long time. And that's the weird thing about being an actor is because with anything you do, you tend to get better when you do it.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're an actor, you get older and people are like, now we want you to not do it.
And it's also, could you imagine if your job would be at risk, like based upon those things. Like I gain 10 pounds and I go to like my office job and they're like, you gotta go.
Yeah.
Like, could you imagine? That's the only industry where it's okay to do that, to be that way, to say like, you don't have the right look for this. And you make
Yeah.
yourself, I mean, actors and actresses and the like make themselves incredibly vulnerable when they do that. They are literally putting themselves out there to be judged and critiqued, and
Yeah.
people don't realize, I think, how vulnerable actors and actresses have to be. I think everyone, glamorizes it and things like, once you're famous, you just get to do only the things you want to do and you're happy all the time. And that's not the case. Like, these people are people and they have mental struggles and they have difficulties and they face judgment and all of that stuff that we all deal with. And then they have this job that puts them in the public eye.
And think about that many people looking at you, looking at your body. That's like a nightmare.
Yeah. When I was a kid, I used to want to be, I mean, everything that I wrote down when I was a little kid, I wanted to be a singer and an actress when I
Yeah.
grew up. And I grew up and developed anxiety. And I was like, oh, no. I don't want that many people looking at me ever or judging me because I know not everybody will like me and that's going to upset me. And it
I
is. It is definitely a thing that takes a mental toll as well, and I don't think a lot of people recognize that or give that credit to people who are in the public eye. They're like, oh, your life is perfect. You everything must be fine.
Yeah. Yeah. When I taught, I had a Rate My Professor page, and if there was ever like a negative thing on there, I would feel bad. And it probably would have been healthier to just never look at it.
Right.
But I would feel bad. It doesn't matter if they were positive ones. A negative one, I would just feel bad. And it's just like, imagine like getting reviews. Like, what is, like, let's say you work at a fucking McDonald's. It's not gonna be like, hey, on Sunday, like, hey, let's see what the New York Times thought about your fucking McDonald's shift this week.
Right.
All they say, you're terrible.
Then you were awful. The service was completely lacking.
Ow.
Yeah, I don't think I could handle that. I don't think I could handle the criticisms. I remember listening to Brené Brown talk about like reading the comments and why it's like a really important self-care exercise to not do it.
Yeah. And I bring it back to Brendan Fraser. You know, he did what, you're not allowed to do. He went from being hot to looking like a person. He went from having a six pack to being overweight. And
Yep.
how dare he?
Yeah. He went from being like a heartthrob to being like a normal guy.
Yeah, like a person.
And like still a talented actor. So I don't
Right.
know. Like,
Right.
there's got to be roles for normal looking people. That's, did you watch The White Lotus?
No,
Right.
I know.
Well, that it, there was, it's not even, that significant. But something that I found refreshing, I was talking to my friend about this the other day. One of the cast members just looks to me like a normal person. Like, there's a certain look that actors and
Yeah.
actresses that have about them.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's to do with the way that, they're able to keep up their looks and stuff. Like, I don't know what it is, but like, it was a normal looking person.
Yeah.
That's refreshing. Let's have normal people
Yeah.
screen. Like, people who don't look perfect. That would be nice.
Yeah. I saw a Glass Onion, the sequel to Knives Out,
That.
and it was fantastic. But Kate Hudson was in it, and there's a scene where she's in a bikini, and I would not say that there's any flaw really there. But she does not look like you would see a movie star look like in a movie. She looks like she has a real body.
Right.
You could tell she's not in her 20s. You could tell she's not rail thin. You know, her belly comes a little bit over the bottom. You know, but
Delightful.
she's still incredibly gorgeous.
Yeah.
And if you saw her in real life, you'd be like, this is, you're a total 10. But when you see it in a movie, it's almost like, good for you. For just fucking
Being human.
not starving yourself before you film this, even,
Right. Sorry, I've caught my son's cold.
it's going around.
Tis the season.
Yeah.
the worst.
So are you all done with your shopping?
Hang on, my son just.
I mean, did you tell Santa what's needed?
I mean, did you forward that letter to the North Pole? I did most of it. It's mostly done. There's some stuff that's arriving this week, and then I've got a last minute shopping trip planned tomorrow night to just, tie up all the loose ends.
Yeah.
This morning, my daughter accidentally saw the wrapping paper that we intended to use. Oh, now I have to go get new wrapping paper as well.
Right. The jig is up.
The jig is up. It's so stressful. Oh my God.
How old is she now?
She's 7, so I don't think,
When do you think it's
realistically, I
gonna
don't think
happen?
I would say by 10, I feel like she's a clever kid.
Yeah.
She's like super smart and she notices patterns and stuff like that. Like,
She's probably already got her doubts.
I'm sure she does. I'm sure she's got like,
Towards
some
the
sort of
end,
inkling like, eh.
I think that there's a few denial years
Yeah.
where the kid's like, you know what? I'm choosing.
I'm gonna choose to believe in this.
Yeah.
Yeah, when I found out as a kid, it had snowed and I went to my garage to get my snowsuit and there was a bike in my garage. And then that bike was under my tree on Christmas morning.
Yeah.
Oh, and I wrote a letter to my mother, and in that letter, I apologized to her profusely over and over again. I was like, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to find out. I'm really sorry.
That's fine.
And I feel like that explains me as a person.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm so sorry.
I don't think I had a moment, like a single moment where it was like I figured it out. I guess, like you said about patterns, like I just, like when I was a kid, I knew people whose family had more money, but they were not nicer than me. In fact, they were naughtier than me, but they had more stuff and bigger
Yeah.
stuff. And I was like, well,
Something doesn't check out here.
this doesn't make sense. This person's clearly on the naughty list.
I've never met a more naughty person.
Right. In the history of Christmas, right?
Mm.
Somebody somewhere has to have really did it. Been like, you know what? My fucking kid sucks. They
Yeah.
suck this year. I'm for real just giving them coal. And
Somebody has to have done it.
it
I'm
has to have
sure.
happened.
I'm sure.
But I've never heard anyone say it.
Yeah. No, I've never gotten coal. I've never known anyone who's gotten coal, but somebody has to.
You know, Walt Disney's father did not allow his children to have toys.
Wow.
Doesn't that say so much about Walt Disney as a person?
Right. Fuck you, Dad.
I'm gonna forever just be, I'm gonna turn our entire culture into childhood.
Into a toy.
Yeah.
Ah.
Right. Yeah.
I love it.
I've got a trip Friday and I know it's crazy because it's like the 2 days before, but I've got to just get some gift cards, and gift cards don't ever sell out. I've never seen gift cards gone. You know
No.
what I mean? There, you can go in any CVS and they have them.
It's true.
And maybe some odds and ends, I don't know.
Right? Like, I don't even.
Yeah.
I've been waiting to feel the Christmas spirit, and I just don't this year. I'm hoping it'll change when Christmas actually rolls around, but it's been a rough holiday season. Seasonal depression is hitting me rough this year.
Yeah.
Bad. It's felt very heavy lately. There's just so much going on, and during the holidays, I think you can be painfully aware of what's missing from your traditions or your life or whatever. And that's hard. Like there's a sense of nostalgia that comes with the holidays that's not always necessarily happy.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a very complicated time, and I love all the joyous stuff about it. I love seeing my kids smile. I love, doing those things with them, but it's a heavy season.
Yeah, I mean it's got its physical toll, the lack of light, cold. I mean
Ugh.
it's just a hard time of year to be a person.
Yeah.
I mean, we originate from Africa. Like, cold is not Good. We do not do cold well.
For this, not for the cold. I wasn't made for this.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. And just the lack of light, there's not as much to do, so you end up in your house a lot. Like, it's just seasonal depression sucks. It really sucks.
I've been waking up and I have one of those lamps.
Right.
And it was not a lot. It was like $40. And I put it on and it helps a little.
Yeah.
On the last episode, I talked about that I have a new job. And my new job, I can work from home every day. But I got to a point recently where I was just like, I hate this. So I have an office that I can go into. My job has an office that's accessible to me.
Right.
But I also don't want to be the weirdo who goes in every day. So I've been like, go in 2 days a week and then go to Starbucks 2 days a week and then stay home on like Friday and work. But just being home all day working, and I'm in the basement where there's not a lot of light, it just sucks. I'd rather be in a Starbucks where there are people and fucking shit going on.
Yeah, it's hard being alone most of the time. And I feel
Yeah.
like, just in general, you're alone more in the winter. People aren't outside and, going for walks, and you're not sitting in the park, you're not having a barbecue or anything. Like, people tend to stay home and like isolate in the winter.
Yeah.
And that's okay. It's cool. I like my own company. I get that time alone is necessary, but it's all the components of winter just combined to make a real shit storm, as far as I'm concerned. I don't like it.
Would you ever move to a warmer climate?
Oh, I would love to. Not like, I don't think I could do somewhere that doesn't have seasons.
Yeah.
I would still need like a little bit of like fluctuation.
Yeah, I agree.
I couldn't just do, one temperature year
Yeah.
round. I couldn't do that. But I would love to live somewhere warmer. It's so cold here.
I know.
Ugh, the air hurts my face, and
I
I
know.
don't like that.
I know. I know. And
And
I
like,
would
my very, very cold.
say that again.
Face gets very cold. Like, I have a nice heavy jacket that protects my body and stuff, but like, my face gets real, real cold.
Interesting. Does your face hurt?
All of the time.
Because it's killing me. Cuckoo bananas, everybody.
Da-da-da. Yeah, I don't. I cold just this is not this is the season is not for me. Winter is not for me, and it makes all the other shit harder, in my opinion. Like, whether or not I want to acknowledge it or that I can actually get my ass out and do it, like, getting outside helps. It does help my mental health, and if I can force myself to get out and take a little walk around the block or something, I will feel better.
But
To
that's the
try and
hard.
force myself to get out of the house in the winter, like,
Ugh.
I have to put on so many layers of clothing, and I'm not gonna enjoy my walk at all. Like, it's not like, oh, once I get out there, I'm gonna enjoy it. I'm gonna get out there and I'm gonna be in pain because the colder hurts me. Like, it's so hard to do well for yourself in the winter.
Yeah. Like I go to the gym, but I go to the gym less in the winter. And it's not like my gym is outdoors. It's indoors. But just to go into the car and then the drive, like just any time outside
Yeah.
sucks.
And even, you're going to your car. Great. And you get a car. Yeah, with the car heat up.
Yeah.
Car's gonna use more gas in the winter because you got the heat going. And like, it's just.
The other day, my car didn't want to start because that day where the temperature really dropped quick, I didn't drive that day, so I didn't turn my car on that day. So the next day I went to turn my car on and the battery didn't wanna wasn't going.
Uh-oh.
I luckily was able to like try it and rev the engine enough to get her going.
Yeah.
But I was like, oh, please not now, 'cause it was freezing too. I was like,
Yep.
this is car trouble is just like it's always a cherry on top of your fucking pile of shit.
And like, you finally get yourself out of the house, you're brave in the cold, whatever. Like, you make it to the car and it doesn't fucking start. It's like, really? Really?
Right.
The other day, my defroster wasn't working, so I actually had to like physically get out of my car and like climb onto, because I drive a van, so I had to like climb onto the hood of it because I'm also short and I can't really reach things. And like physically wipe off my windshield multiple times. Like I would have to pull over and do it. I was like, this is a nightmare. I don't ever want to do this ever again.
Yeah, I know.
I'm very much over winters.
I mean, where we are in Staten Island, New York, it's been cold as hell, but it's been raining more than snowy. So it's been mild. I know other places in New York, it's been snowy, but it's been somewhat mild so far. And as much as the rain depresses me, I take rain over snow any day of the week.
Any day. The only thing that I don't like is that it's raining and then the temperature is dropping overnight and then it's really icy in the morning.
Right.
Not a fan of that at all.
Right.
Not coordinated enough to walk around on ice. I'm just not,
Yeah,
can't do it. Speaking of, have you ever like done the typical New York City touristy Christmas-y stuff?
we drive by the Rockefeller Center tree and we drive by the Macy's window, and we do usually go like around Rockefeller where they have like FEO Schwartz and we like we'll do that. We like to do things. Like I did something great this weekend. We went to this show called Santa's Secret, which was a drag, I guess you'd call it a drag kind of cabaret show. It wasn't all drag, it was like half drag, and then there were some cis women with like booby tassels. It was pretty fun
Like
and dirty.
burlesque.
It was a
Cool.
lot of fun.
That sounds fun.
Yeah, it was super fun. Actually, me and Jen, we were on one side of the stage, because I guess because they wanted to like they were like empty seats towards the front. So when we went in, there was just two of us. So the ticket taker was like, "You know what? I'm gonna upgrade you to the VIP. Merry Christmas."
Ooh.
So we were right by the stage. And one of the performers, she had bells on her nipples, but she was taking them off to put on something else. And just because of where we were, we saw her tits, and she said peekaboo. And then,
Right.
but no, but if you were anywhere else, you wouldn't have seen them.
Just
It was just a precious moment for us.
for you guys. How
Yeah,
special.
because who doesn't love boobies? I mean, come
Right. I mean, come to poops.
on. Yeah, and it was funny. It was good. Yeah, you can actually go to my Instagram and see some images from it.
Sounds like a good time.
Oh, we should say we got rid of the Cuckoo Bananas Instagram. It ended up being every time I've ever tried to do more than one Instagram at a time, it just doesn't work.
Yeah.
And I'll advertise Cuckoo Bananas and our episodes and stuff on my main Instagram, which is PCMC Pod. Yeah, it was just we just weren't using it. I mean, you know what I mean?
Yeah, taking up cyberspace for no good reason, you know? It's wasting that cyberspace.
So what are your Christmas plans?
Oh boy. So, usually Christmas Eve is the bigger of the days in my
Sure.
family. Like Christmas Day is usually a little bit more quiet.
Yeah.
So Christmas Eve we have, a whole full day. We usually my family gets together relatively early. We make homemade pizzas and strombolis and have those for lunch together and
That's
hang
good.
out.
Do they do the seven fishes?
So we did when I was a kid. And just like as the years have gone by, it's just been less and less. And like I don't eat fish, and too many of like the younger kids in my family don't eat fish. So it just started like we started introducing other items, like okay, but we'll also have a tray of chicken parm this year or whatever. And then after a while, it was like, well, why am I gonna make this congeal if no one's eating this congeal? So it's changed over the years, but yeah, we do lots of fish. We have late dinner, do our presents as late as we can make the kids hold out. something we started like relatively recently is we do a white elephant exchange.
Okay.
It's a lot of fun. So we make like a $10 limit. And everybody's got to get like the silliest thing that they can find. Like we just get very silly gifts for each other. And it usually ends up being a really fun time, you know, because when you're an adult at Christmas, like you're not getting gifts and you're not really concerned about that. You're concerned about everybody else having a good time and whatever.
Right.
So it's nice that like we do that, like, and it's just the grown-ups. That's
Yeah.
the kids go off and play or whatever, and the grown-ups do their white elephant. And you know, like we'll play poker, we'll, you know, just hang out all day. And then Christmas morning is, you know, Christmas morning, and it's quiet and just family.
So do the kids open presents on Christmas morning or Christmas Eve?
Christmas Eve, we open presents from family and stuff like that, and then Christmas morning, they'll open gifts from Santa.
Sure.
Yeah, like my their aunts and uncles and stuff like that will give them their presents on Christmas.
Yeah, that's basically what it was when I was a kid.
Yeah. I feel like it's a classic, like, you know, New York Italian American Roman Catholic Christmas.
Yeah, we'd go from one family to the other. We'd do dad's mother and then mom's mother,
Yep.
all in one long ass day.
It's the longest day. Like, I know it's technically not the longest day of the year, it's slightly off, but it is a long day. Oh, God. Speaking of though, so the solstice is soon, right? The winter solstice. And I'm going to an event. I'm going to a death forum.
What's that?
You just hang out and talk about all things to do with death.
Oh, okay. Where is this taking place?
So it's taking place at the Snug Harbor Cultural Center.
Oh, okay.
And a friend of mine helped to organize it. So she's been sharing it, and I think it's going to be a really cool thing. And I like to lean into those kind of conversations. I like having those kind of conversations. I think they're really important. I think making space for people to have those kind of conversations is really important.
You think it'll be a healthy thing?
I do. I do. I, you know, I've looked into them a little bit since hearing of it. You know, I had never heard of a death forum before. And like it's really just it's kind of but it's just you're free to talk about any experience or fear or whatever. And I think that's really important. Like we have to talk about death. We have to. I don't know if you've ever heard of a death doula, but it's
Oh.
essentially like a birth doula is, you know, someone who assists you with the birthing process,
Yeah.
and you know, and a death doula is someone who assists you with dying. It's somebody who helps to like facilitate your journey to death, right?
So, like, why doesn't every person have that? That's
It's if you know it's coming. If you're sick, if you're, you know, of a certain age or whatever, like if you know and you can prepare yourself, why
Yeah.
wouldn't you? Why wouldn't you try to have a healthy attitude surrounding it and whatever the best you can? It's inevitable. It's the only thing any of us know for sure. You know, like
Right.
it's we have to have, I think, the healthiest possible attitude that we can toward it because it helps you live a more fulfilling life if you're not constantly fearing death. And also acknowledging death helps you appreciate life too.
I think I fear the death of people I care about more than my own.
Yeah. And I fear the pain of others when I'm gone. You know what I mean? Like not like I think I'm the most important in the world and everyone's going to be hurting so much, but like I know what it feels like to lose a mom. So I think about the pain that my children will, you know, like things like that. And that is really difficult, but I don't worry about my death really, because I mean, what is there to worry about? Like, it's gonna happen, it's gonna be done, there's something after it or not, but I can't control any of that, so there's no point in me getting, you know, super stressed out about it. I think that's also, you know, my view of death is also partially shaped by the fact that I lost my mother suddenly. You know, I learned firsthand just how quickly that can happen, how abrupt it can be. both as someone who's losing someone and as the person who passed. I was talking to my mom perfectly fine the night before she passed. She had no clue that the next morning she had an aneurysm. She had no clue. And so, it helps me appreciate moments because you never know. You never know.
Isn't that interesting? That's something people always say. People always go, oh, so and so died. I was just speaking to them.
Right?
It's because death is so, it's the most natural thing, and it's so like impossible for our brains to like process.
Yep. Like how could they be gone? They were just here.
Yeah, like I just saw them like tell me a joke.
And it's, it's I was thinking about it with the news this past week of Twitch's suicide. People posting like the last video he posted. Like it's a video of him dancing or whatever, and people saying like, oh, he was always so joyous and all of this stuff. But like, you never know. You never know. He turned on a camera and he made a video, and he could have tons of, creative expression and all of that to give and also be hurting really badly.
Recently, Jason David Frank, who
Ugh.
played the green and white Power Ranger in the original Power Rangers, died of suicide. And his what he had dinner with his wife that night, and she said like he didn't seem, I mean, they were having problems and they were trying to reconcile, but she said she still said she was shocked. Like there was nothing about that evening that made her think that he was gonna go that way.
So heartbreaking. You never really know what a person is going through. And like that's become such a cliche and whatever, but like truly, like we've seen so many people that are such bright lights for others that can't be that for themselves. And it's really heartbreaking. I remember thinking, when I heard about Twitch, I remember thinking like, I'm sure he's felt this feeling before. You know what I mean? Like I feel like, if it's not the first time you feel the feeling that you take an action like that. And like I found myself thinking like, I wish he could have just gotten through it one more time. You know what I mean? Like you just gotta get through it one more time. And if you keep thinking that, like I just gotta get through this feeling one more time, it,
It's
compounds.
like a war with many battles,
Yes.
and sometimes you win most of the battles, and then you might lose one.
Right. And sometimes you're prepared. Sometimes you have the energy to fight or whatever, and then other times you don't. Like it's not, people are able to identify what their triggers are and things like that, but like you can't always predict when that's coming on. You can't predict when those feelings are going to hit. That's part of being clinically depressed, and like it's just not, you're not going to be able to control when those things strike.
For me, I think the most rock bottom feeling is when I am depressed and I think, oh, this is it. It's never, these days are never going to go away. There's no trend in the right direction.
Yeah.
I'll feel better, but I'll feel like this again. This will always be a reality that is there.
Right.
That's the that to me feels like the most rock bottom feeling.
Yeah, that no matter what, there will be another fight. Yeah, I've definitely gotten caught in that feeling myself. Like, I'm never gonna get a reprieve from this. You know what I mean? There's never gonna be a time that I don't have bipolar disorder. It's never gonna happen. There's not gonna be a day that I don't have it. There might be a day where I'm not incredibly symptomatic or whatever, but it always could happen at like the drop of a hat. It could happen. Sometimes I am fully ready to fight. Sometimes I've got every tool in my arsenal and I'm ready to go. And then other times it's like, you get completely blindsided by it and you can't fight.
I mean, they say bipolar is one of the hardest
It's the
to have.
second most fatal, the first being schizophrenia.
They say, and you could tell me if you feel this way, that it's like It's they used to call it manic depressive because there's highs and lows. They say that one of the things that makes it hard to treat is the manic highs some people want. So that leveling off, it's okay to go from depressed to level, but to go from like super, super up
Productive
there,
and motivated and
right? Like to give that up is hard.
And it's also, in those times, I know for me, I tend to be more creative, more expressive, all of that kind of stuff. And I assume that that is so with other people who suffer bipolar disorder or who are diagnosed with bipolar disorder. It almost I remember worrying that taking medication or whatever would destroy that, would get rid of my creativity and get rid of the, the things, the extreme depth of feeling that I have,
Yeah.
because that's that I consider a gift. I consider it a gift that I can feel really, really, really deeply. I can be incredibly moved by the smallest thing. And that's, that goes to both ends of the spectrum. I can, end up crying at some nonsense or whatever. Or I can see something that might look really, really typical to somebody else, and I see, the most beautiful interaction I've ever seen in my life or whatever. And I do understand the fear of losing that. I understand not wanting to lose, that the high. It's a high point. It's feeling productive and capable and trading it off when your experience has always been either incredibly high or incredibly low. Trading that, the idea of trading off the incredible high, I
Yeah.
think it doesn't register as there's a place between the high and the low. I think just, I'm going to be low all the time then.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's true. There's a lot of fears that come along with medicine. Like I recently, like I said, I got a new job. So with my new job, I got new health coverage, which means the place, the psychiatrist that I had gone to for 8 years, they didn't take my new coverage. So I had to find a new
That
person.
sucks. I'm very sorry to hear that.
For the first time in a while, this person like evaluated my medicine. It was like, how do you feel about this? Do you want to try changing these in any way? And I said, part of me does,
Right.
but part of me also is terrified of it. And she said, well, yeah, this is the best version of yourself you've known. So
Right.
the idea, you're not even thinking about there could be a better version of yourself. You're just holding on to this.
To what the best is, right?
And she was like, well, look, you said you had a new job. That's a big transition. Maybe you shouldn't do anything now. And I said, okay, yeah, I'll let you know if
Good
we
point.
I said, I'll let you know if I decide to change it, but I might not. I might just say I'm not gonna. And she said, okay. I mean, if I did change it, it would be because I want to reduce some side effects. You know,
Right.
I want to not clench my teeth in my sleep.
Me too.
I want to
I'm losing all of my teeth because of that.
there's some exercises that it won't stop it entirely, but it can make it better.
Yeah.
I could send you some videos that it's been working for me.
Please do, because I, poof.
I wish I had more vitality. I wish I had a better libido, you know?
Feel that too.
So the side effects suck, but
Yeah, and it's like, what am I gonna do? What's the trade-off? And it sucks. It sucks trying to figure out because everything's gonna come with some sort of side effect.
I could say that nothing's made me less creative. That part is so deep in me.
Yep.
If you ever read On Writing by Stephen King, he talks about how he was afraid to stop drinking and doing drugs because he was afraid he wouldn't be creative. And he said that's bullshit. Like he
Yep.
did stop, and he's written a million books since then. Like the addiction is a side effect of whatever goes on inside you, just the way your creativity is a side effect of what goes on inside of you. So you're not going to lose it.
Right. And it's also, I think that addiction, if we're speaking in the context of addiction, addiction's a liar, and addiction tells you whatever. because your
Yeah.
body is trying to tell you that you need whatever substance you're addicted to. So it will tell you, you're not going to be yourself without this. If you don't do this, you're not going to be able to write, or you're not going to be able to paint, or whatever, because your body's trying to convince you you need it.
Yeah.
Your brain is trying to, reason with you for why your body is demanding it.
That's what I found the hardest thing, because it felt like what I assume, well, I shouldn't say, I have no idea, but it felt like what I've heard schizophrenia feels like, because part of me really didn't want to do anything anymore. I wanted to be sober, and just as much I wanted to be high all the time.
Right.
And both of those parts were alive inside of me all of the time. And
Yeah.
that alone just ripped me, my brain apart, like ripped me in two. Like, it's so weird.
Yeah.
Because it is inside you, and it's, I mean, it's been so long since I did anything, but it still whispers to me.
Right.
It's still like, go ahead.
Right.
It
You
really
haven't done
is.
it in such a long time. You could probably just do a little and nobody would,
Yeah, you can control it now. You
Yep.
can control it then, but you can control it now.
Yeah. It's such a difficult thing to navigate. It really is. It's like
Yeah.
it's like trying it to me. It makes me think back about death. And it's I think on some level it's like it being addicted to a substance almost feels like you're cheating death. Like it feels like you found this little loophole where you get
Yeah.
this pocket of time or whatever it is when you're using
Yeah.
that you've like ferreted away somehow. You've snuck this little time or this little experience into your
Yeah.
life somehow.
Yeah. Well, I remember the day, I remember feeling elated the day I gave in and said, I'm just going to do this all the time now. Because I was kind of trying, I was kind of like, no, I don't want to, you know. Like, I had a summer where I was like, okay, I'm going to smoke all day, every day, at work, not at work. Don't matter where I am or what I'm doing, I'm gonna smoke all day every day. But just this summer, and then when the season changes, I'll not do that. And so, of course, the season changed, and I didn't want to do that. But I remember feeling like the feeling of, yep, I'm just, this is it. I'm gonna do this. Maybe this is the cure. Maybe this is the cure I've been looking for.
Maybe I can feel good every day.
And for a hot minute, it was, by the
Right.
way, for a good, I'm gonna say 6 months, it was, until it just wasn't anymore.
Right. And that's the
Right.
name.
And then I would smoke not to get high, but to be able to sleep, to be able to have the muscles in my back relax, to be able to have an appetite so I could eat.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep. And then once you do that so regularly, it's very hard to convince your body that you can exist without it.
Yeah. Oh God, the insomnia. It's like my body would be on pause when I wasn't high.
Yeah.
I remember, like, this first smoke of the day, I would, like, my back would loosen and I'd be like, all right, here I am. Woo, okay.
Right.
Let me get some breakfast. It's time to start the day.
Yeah.
It's like I wasn't alive without it.
Which, I think in the instance of cannabis, if it can be controlled, is a good thing. But
It depends on who you are.
exactly. It depends on your
Like, cannabis is very bad for schizophrenia.
right.
Yeah, it depends on who you are. I mean, some people it is the answer.
Right.
You know, like, I've known people who are like, yeah, it's like a glass of wine. I do like two hits a night, and I'm like, two hits, like, I can't do that. But the same way that I can't have one cookie too, you know what I mean? Like, my
Right.
brain doesn't work that way.
Things are always in excess.
If I'm smoking, I'm getting fucking stoned.
Right. What's the point if I'm not, right?
Right. I don't want it to go away. We got to keep it going. Like, it's like I never, like, when I smoked, the one thing I never understood was people who, like, could smoke in the morning and then do something at night. And I'd be like, so you got high in the morning and then you just came down and then you just lived
And
down?
then you didn't like smoke again to bring yourself back up. Like you just
You just
got
stayed
high and
down.
just rode that the whole way down.
I mean, maybe undepressed people, it's not the end of the world, but I would just be like, now everything's blue. Like, once you start smoking, you have to keep smoking all
Right.
day until you.
Right. That's the
Yeah, of course.
only way it works. Oh, man.
Well, me and Kate are not therapists or psychiatrists. We are not mental health professionals at this time. So just a reminder that this show is for entertainment purposes. And if you need help, there's some phone numbers and resources in the description. And if you're having a hard holiday season, we feel you.
Yeah, you're not alone.
You
Even if
know,
you,
you're definitely not alone. Not this
yeah.
time. You're definitely not alone. Well, you're never alone, really.
Yeah. And just try to get through it one more time. If you can't think big, if you can't think about getting through the rest of your life or the rest of the day or whatever, just think about getting through this feeling one more time.
Yeah. Like they say, like if you feel like self-harm, plan it. Don't do it right now. Be like, okay, I'll do this. Like today's Monday, I'll do this Thursday. And then
Right.
hopefully, by Thursday, you're like, ah, I don't want to do that anymore.
Right.
Don't be impulsive when it comes to self-harm.
Right.
Be like, you know what? I'll do it.
Out
I'll do it later.
your date book, find a good time, and then don't do it then. And still, please don't do it.
This has been an incredible Christmas episode.
Joyful. What a joyful pair.
What a carol this is.
Right? Little feel good material for your holiday season.
Have you watched Muppets yet this
Of
year?
course I have. So many times, and my children love it so much. My son is like obsessed with it. He loves the opening number, the Scrooge song. He sings time. He always wants to listen to it. I love it. It's amazing. And actually, so one of my very best friends doesn't like the Muppets, which is just, I know, what a sentence. What a sentence. And the fact that I still
I'm
consider
friends.
this person one of my best friends. And today she watched the Muppet Christmas Carol and she was like, okay, all right. Muppet Christmas Carol made me cry. I was like, I know, it's beautiful. The best telling of a Christmas Carol.
This year's holiday episode of Pop Culture Man Children is all about the Christmas Carol, and we talk about different versions of it, but we come back to the best version is A Muppet Christmas Carol.
It's perfect. It's beautiful. It's funny. Michael Caine could have won an Oscar for his performance opposite Muppets.
And now the love is gone is back.
God.
That
It's
poor woman, by the way, she gave such an incredible performance and then it was cut out for years.
right, and then everybody just forgot about poor Belle.
I know.
But and like it's so important to the story. And you learn that like he was doing it all for her. Like that's he like yeah, he was very concerned with money and all of that and he wanted success, but he wanted it because he wanted to give her a good life because he loved her.
And his love language was money.
Right. Was I'm going to do absolutely everything I can and stick my face in these books and do whatever so I can earn money to take care of you. And that's where the whole thing came from. Like, Ebenezer. Not a name you hear often, you know? Not a
But
common name.
I guess Ben would be short for it.
Yeah, Ebenezer. I'd want to call him Kneezy, though.
Oh, kneezy for sheezy. The kids still say that?
Know.
Oh no, not in over 10 years.
I don't know. We'll have to get a youth to let us know.
I mean, we haven't dropped it like it's hot for like
Oh.
over 10 years.
Oh, it's definitely been at least a decade
At
since
least.
something was dropped like it was hot.
At least.
Oh
God, it could
boy.
be more. No, it could be like 2 decades.
I don't even want to hear that. It could be, though.
It could be as far back as 2005. Wait, I gotta look it up now.
Yeah, no, I think it might be like 20 years. Oh
But
no.
you know what? Snoop Dogg looks great. Still looks good. Still
Tyler.
is good.
Timeless, that Snoop.
2004.
Wow, almost 20
18
years. Shit.
years. Holy shit.
Oh wow.
A whole voting adult.
Wow. Damn.
When the pimp's in the crib, ma.
Huh?
Wow, 2004. That was the future.
Yeah, that's in 2004. What? That sounds like it doesn't even sound real.
I know. It still doesn't sound real.
No. We'll have flying cars by then.
Well, I hope your kids and your family has a joyful Christmas.
Merry Christmas to you and yours.
Happy holidays. And as the British say, Happy Christmas.
Happy Christmas.
Happy Christmas, Harry.
Why is it so cute? Why is Happy Christmas so much cuter than Merry Christmas is?
That's a great question.
It's
Is
really
it the
endearing.
alliteration?
What?
The H sound repeating?
Well, that would be Happy Holidays. Happy Christmas.
Oh, sorry, you're right. You're right.
I had a moment where I was like, wait. Happy Christmas just sounds real cute.
And I haven't smoked in like 8 years.
It's late. It's
Still
late. You're young.
crispy. I'm still a little crispy. Yeah, it's just weird because you think of, because Merry sounds more like old fashioned. So you think that would be the British saying?
Right.
But only we say it.
Happy Christmas.
Happy Christmas. I don't know. Maybe because maybe it sounds more like gentle. I don't know. Merry,
Yeah.
what the fuck is that? Happy. Have a happy Christmas.
Yeah. It's just so cute and endearing. I think I'm just going to say Happy Christmas from now on. That's it. I've made my choice.
I'm a big fan of happy holidays.
Yeah.
I'm
Yeah, I
sure
like
you are.
happy holidays too, because Christmas isn't the only one.
Yeah.
And like, if I know somebody celebrates Christmas, I'll say Merry Christmas. But
Right.
I do like a good happy holidays. There's
Right.
like dozens of holidays that
Right.
happen during
Right.
December.
Including, it doesn't even have to be about diversity in beliefs, too. I mean, New
Yeah.
Year's is a holiday.
Yep. Yep.
There's multiple things happening.
Happy holidays. Enjoy the season.
Well, I think we did it.
Yeah, I think we might have.
I hope this was entertaining to anyone.
Anyone in the world. I hope anyone cares.
No, you know what though? I've been sad at this time of year, and if you're listening and you're sad, just know that we are with you, and you're gonna be okay.
Yeah, you will.
Bye.
Bye.